Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Would firing Mike Shula right now actually be the right decision at this point in the season? Gamecock fans want to hear from you. 844-326-3663. That's the question. I know that's the popular take narrative right now. Want to get your thoughts on that. And Guy, we put you on hold twice. If you want to get back in, you can do so at 844-326-3663 if you have time. Phone lines are open. Talking South Carolina football. And even if you're a Clemson fan, we'd love to hear from you. 844-FAN-PHONE. Diesel, before we get into this Shane Beamer audio from today and react to what Shane Beamer had to say, you know, it's always funny that the immediate response is to fire everybody. I just don't know. Kind of like I talked about with Jack Veltri, I am one in the camp that Mike Shula is no good. They're not getting the most out of their offense. But at this point in the season, I don't know what you're going to gain if you do fire him. To me, you feel like you are who you are at this point.
Well, you got to look bigger picture. Certainly it affects the team and the players. Not that, you know, players signed with South Carolina to play for Mike Shula. Maybe one or two of them did. Hard to say. But now you become known as that program that has essentially institutional instability. And coaches start to think about that, like, hey, do I take the job at South Carolina? Does that limit some of your candidates possibly for somebody who might want to replace Mike Shula next year? Hard to say. But if you don't like his play calling, Shane has to have the conversation with him and say, hey, you have to change the way you call plays.
Something's got to give.
Let's work this out. I know you're a talented guy, Mike. Your resume speaks for itself. You're a good coordinator, but clearly what we're doing is not working. So we have to change the way you're calling plays.
Yeah.
And if that means sort of just, you know, spinning a roulette wheel and stopping, and that's the play you're going to run this time, okay, great. But people have figured you out at this point.
You're predictable, and I think if you're having that conversation, which, by the way, I agree with you, that conversation's past needed. But you've got to have Mike Shula understand that this is your offense. You've got to call plays and create this offense that fits what you have. Right now, what you're calling is not fitting what you have, Mike, and we've got to have something to give. That's why I asked the question to Jack Veltri back at 422 about just throwing the kitchen sink out there.
You know, this is maybe it's a slightly facetious thing to say, but South Carolina's offensive line stinks. And if you're letting guys up the middle into the backfield in a matter of a split second, you need to maybe run more of an option-style offense. You got to get that ball outside to the edge, get it in the hands of your playmakers, and let them figure it out. Let your offensive incompetence, your offensive line incompetence, become a weapon.
Yeah.
Make the defensive line over-pursue by getting through the offensive line quickly and easily, and then you can pitch the ball outside. And I know that's not the easiest thing to do. You can't teach Lenore Sellers how to be an option quarterback like that. I mean, it would get far worse before it gets better. But, I mean, you got to try something at this point.
You just got to, to me, my biggest takeaway real quick before we get to the phones is you've got to cater to what your quarterback can do well. And they're simply not doing that. Let's go to the phone lines, 844-326-3663. We hear from Crazy Ralph for the first time in a long time. What's up, Crazy Ralph?
Yeah, I've been sick about this for days. I was at the game on Saturday. I was sitting 50-yard line. A buddy of mine gave me free tickets. I'm glad I didn't pay to watch that disgusting display of play calling. Listen, you guys know they hired Shula. What a terrible decision this was. I'd have to disagree with my friend there, Diesel, because you called him talented. What has he ever done? I mean, he coached Cam Newton, but those were NFL-caliber offensive linemen blocking for Cam. And let's just admit, Cam was a freak. He was amazing in his prime. So I don't count that when it comes to Mike Shula. He hadn't lasted anywhere long, but I don't even blame him for his inadequacies. I blame the only person that we can blame, and that's Shane frickin' Beamer. This guy couldn't hire a Division I caliber coach if his life depended on it. It's almost like with Shula, they've got the little coach's son's club or something. The coach's son kids that no other team wants or would ever employ or give a job. So therefore, there's this sick, twisted bond that Beamer has with this guy to where he can't let him go. And you know what? They're ruining Lenora Sellers because of it. I'll tell you who looked really good the other day was when they put Cutter Woods from Westside High School in there. He actually looked like a quarterback. But I think they've already ruined Lenora. They need to cut ties with Shula. G.A. Mangus is right there in Columbia. Heck, I know he doesn't know the team or the players, but I'd let him call plays for the rest of the season till you find a capable guy.
Crazy Ralph, how many fried Oreos did you eat after the game to kind of wash that taste of that game out of your mouth?
Mm.
Oh, he dropped the call.
He hung up.
He hung up on us.
Yeah, that's what you call a drop mic.
Oh, there you go.
Well, yeah, look,
calling me out for using the words talented guy. Look, maybe I was wrong about that.
Here's the reality of it. Gamecock fans, and you know, we can be harsh. We can empathize. We can play both sides of the spectrum here. But the reality of it is, before we get to this Shane Beamer audio from earlier today, they're just not getting it done. Flat, period. End of sentence, done. I mean, period. That's it. They're not getting it done. And you can you know, make it into what you want to make it, but they're just not getting the job done. And these guys, Diesel, they're the coaches, the players. I'm done with the days of not getting on the players. Used to 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years ago, I was in the mindset that these are college athletes. We've got to be careful in how we cover them because they're amateur athletes. Well, I'm not in that camp anymore. They're not getting it done. The coaches are getting paid millions. The players are getting paid a lot of money. And I'm telling you, the players as a freshman, if you go as a freshman and you're starting, you're getting paid a lot of money. I know how much some players are making. They're not doing their job. Plain and simple, every fan, every Gamecock fan has a right to be frustrated.
Well, getting paid doesn't change the fact that you're still an 18-year-old young man who's got all kinds of crazy hormones running through your body. You're on campus with new hot girls for the first time, and you got a little cash in your pocket. I honestly believe that money makes it harder to perform, right? That money makes it harder because now you've got, on top of all the other things that Division I athletes have had to deal with for time immemorial since college football was a thing, now you're adding the craziness of cash.
Yeah.
Onto their plate. And not only are you doing it like one time and saying, hey, here's what you're going to get every year consistently for 4 years while you're in college here. Now they're doing the whole thing of, oh, you got to go get those opportunities day in and day out. You got to be talking to your agent day in and day out. At the end of the season, you got to have another conversation with your agent. Maybe it's time to move on to a different school. Maybe you deserve more. Maybe you deserve less. Do you have the stones to walk into the coach's office and say, hey, coach, I want a $500,000 pay raise or I'm going to leave? I think it makes it harder.
I certainly don't think it's easier. I can't push back. Like I can't say and with a straight face that, you know, I disagree with you because it doesn't make it easier. You add money into anything in life and it makes it complicated to a degree, to a level. It just not always complicates it, but it does change it in anything, Diesel. Anytime money's involved,
sure.
It changes the aspect of the duties.
You know, I wonder, and it's going to take a couple of years, right? You can't just go off of couple years of anecdotal evidence. You hear stories about the kids who are using their money for positive. They're helping mom, dad pay off a house, a loan, a car, whatever it may be. But we're also not hearing much about the ones that are not using their money for positive. The ones that are essentially crashing and burning because they got more money than they've ever seen in their lives. It might take 20 years of evidence to kind of look back on it and say, hey, here's the percentage of players who went essentially net positive with the money that they got. And the ones that went net negative. It's going to be interesting to find out.
Phone line still open. Text line, the Hub City Spartanburgers text line open as well. Before we get to this audio, texter from the 205 says, as an Alabama fan who remembers Mike Shula as our coach, I don't think he's a good coach at all. Just let him go. He's been predictable and awful for 25 years. And to Crazy Ralph's point, I know he's animated and emotional, but like to his point, Diesel, you're going to give credit to Cam Newton and Mike Shula because look what happened with Belichick and Brady when they split. It was very evident that it was Brady more than it was, Belichick. So maybe to Crazy Ralph's point, it was a lot more on Cam Newton than it was Mike Shula. Here's what Shane Beamer said earlier today, just a few hours ago, Gamecock fans. If you have not heard so yet, we will listen and react. Want to hear your reactions as well. 844-326-3663.
All right, excited for a new week. Grateful for another opportunity to go compete that we get to Saturday in Williams-Brice. Big challenge. Alabama's got a fantastic team. Coach DeBoer has done an amazing job with them. Great athletes on defense, really good players and dynamic on special teams, and then a quarterback that is playing better than any quarterback in the nation right now. I mean, this guy is on fire. He's a great young man. We tried to recruit him here. Great young man, great player, great family. And really happy for his success. Some of the throws he's made this season, I mean, just are mind-boggling. He's playing at a high, high, high level. Their offense is operating at a high level. Got a big challenge in front of us, but I know our guys are really looking forward to the opportunity to go compete Saturday afternoon in Williams-Brice Stadium again. And certainly disappointed with last Saturday, but new week, and this is another opportunity for our guys to get better this week and go compete and hard at it. Questions? David, how you doing? Great.
Shane, first, any update on Dylan, the other injured guys?
Should all be good. I think everybody will be back and healthy this week except Case and Henry. He'll be out. Don't think he'll return this season. So certainly not playing this Saturday, but everybody else was back out there and practicing today.
And 2 years ago, you guys had a lot of injuries along the offensive line. I'm assuming you probably tweaked something at the year. Do you see some of the same stuff happening as then, or is this just different?
I think it's different. I mean, certainly you do an analysis of it during the season and something that we'll look at after the season in regards to the why of some of these things and how they occurred. But I think a lot of them are just kind of, freak things and look at it, whether it be, stuff in practice, stuff in games, how we're training. But we did a lot, like you said, a deep dive a couple years ago because we had such a rash of them 2 seasons ago. I don't think this is that, but still to have as many at one position.
Lost a little audio there for a minute.
I remember somebody posted – somebody posted during this that the audio was dropping out.
Oh, my gosh. Did Jack Veltri pull the plug?
Jack.
Did Jack do it?
He says, Shane, you embarrassed me, so I'm going to kick the plug out of the wall.
It is a good question, though, when you talk about the offensive line injuries that David Kleiniger was asking about right there. They just, sometimes you're just unfortunate in a area, and for whatever reason, you can blame this, you can blame that, you can blame strength and conditioning, whatever. Sometimes you just get bit. And
snake bit.
Yeah, snake bit. And at that offensive line position, to his point, the issues they've had have just been detrimental, Diesel, to their success this year.
Yeah, to have an effective offensive line in the SEC is already hard enough. And then when you're running down that depth chart, you're calling guys, effectively off the practice squad, say, hey, come on up, man. We need you. And you got to go block somebody who's starting defensive lineman for Alabama or Oklahoma that's going to be in the NFL next year. That's a tall task.
More Beamer, maybe, depending on if the audio is fixed.
Let's go to Jackson. Not happening. Go ahead, Jackson. Shane, when the team isn't playing up to expectations, there does seem to be a lot of noise on the outside. How is that handled internally, either in terms of using it as motivation or blocking it out?
Good question.
Blocking it out. If you're spending time listening to that noise, then you're not doing the things that you need to be doing to get better. You're not doing the things that you need to be doing to win. When our players walk out of the locker room each and every day, they see a sign on the door of the locker room that's there permanently that says, starve your distractions, feed your focus. And that's I love that. I mean, starve your distractions, all the things that are cluttering your mind. Starve it as much as you can and feed your focus. And again, I understand there's noise out there and there should be. I'm not happy with where we are right now. And I'm going to get it fixed because we got great young men in this program. And as the leader and as the head coach of this program, I realize that I'm letting a lot of people down right now with the way that we're playing. Our players that I feel like I'm letting down, our coaches, our players' families, our coaches' families, the student body, the 80,000 people that pack Williams-Brice Stadium every Saturday, the state of South Carolina, from Charleston to Myrtle Beach to the upstate to the Midlands. There's a lot of people that live and die with Gamecock football on Saturdays, and I get it. They're not happy, and neither am I. And I take that personally because I truly feel like I'm letting a lot of people down right now. And I'm working hard each and every week to try and to get it fixed, making the decisions schematically, personnel-wise, staff-wise, each and every week to get it fixed. And it's a process, but we're going to get it fixed. We're not far off from where we want to be.
I'd like to ask a follow-up to that of, you know, what does that mean? You're not far off. What do you see yeah. that tells you that, you know?
Well, I just wonder if he was tipping his hat a little bit there, saying, hey, we're maybe looking at making some more personnel decisions, some more personnel changes, coaching changes.
Yeah, I don't know. Again, it's tough. I think he's in a very tough spot. I agree with what he said there, and I like that he owns – like, I appreciate that he's owning up to it. Look, this is on me. I've upset and disappointed a lot of people. Diesel, we talked about yesterday how quickly a fan base can turn on you. They've turned, and I don't know that they've the complete 180 yet, but they're in that process, right? So we know how scary it can be for him, and what was so amazing a season ago, and even with ups and downs throughout the season, you ended it well by beating Clemson. You fast forward not even a calendar year, and boy, things aren't going well. But he said right there, I'm going to fix it. I want to see how. What are you
going
to do?
Yeah, I appreciate him going into that salesman mode again and saying, hey, it's on me to fix it. I've made these mistakes. I've put us in this position, and I'm going to fix it. That was good. I mean, that was a forward-looking perspective on what this program needs to be doing. Compare that to what we always hear from Dabo Swinney. It's, I've done this in the past, and I've achieved this in the past. I deserve more credit. I deserve more patience, whatever it may be. And there is a modicum of truth to that, but this is a forward-looking business.
It is, and the reality is time is of the essence. I mean, you've got to win, and you've got to win quick. A few more minutes of what Beamer said today.
Rick, there's no microphone, Rick.
Oh, okay. Shane, Boaz was in here, and he said the one thing the offensive line needed to do is play meaner. How does Coach Elliott help in that regard?
Yeah, I think, there's plenty of instances before Coach Elliott got here as the offensive line coach where we were playing mean up front, and I can show you examples on tape of where we, you know, did that. There's a play that we there's multiple plays of that. But there's certainly – that's a mindset. I think that comes from, you know, just eliminating clutter in their heads. Not saying that there was, but the more we can do just eliminate clutter in their heads and make it simple for guys to just go play and come off the ball and not have to think so much. And we've got tough guys in that offensive line room, and they want to play that way. We just need to continue to help them, and certainly Sean's personality allows that to come out in them, to say the least.
Jack, Shane, you talked about...
Hi, Jack.
Hi, Jack.
And he's smiling from ear to ear, so that's funny. That's funny. Let me back that up one more time. I got to hear that again. Where are we at on this? I've got to back this up a little bit. That's
offensive line room.
That's good stuff.
And they want to play that way, and we just need to continue to help them. And certainly Sean's personality allows that to come out in them, to say the least.
Okay.
Shane, you talked about...
Hi, Jack.
Hey, Shane. You're doing well. You talked about fixing it, but where in your mind does that process start, and what are the steps you feel like you, in your mind, with the team need to take to get to where you eventually want to be and get back with the wins and stuff?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's week to week, it's day to day, it's season to season, whatever. I mean, it's things that I'm looking at each and every day in the short term. It's the decision I made from a staffing standpoint last week or 2 weeks ago to follow up on your question from Saturday, if I felt like more changes on offense were warranted right now and it needed to, that was best for us, I would certainly do it. I don't right now. And I see what we're trying to do. I see how it's being coached, and I see the people and how they're working, and it's not good enough. But I look at it as, okay, how can I, as the head coach, continue to do the things right now in the short term, meaning in the middle of the season, to fix it? And it might be something from a personnel standpoint, who we're playing with on offense and defense.
I'm going to stop that real quick. We'll get back to it. Mm-hmm. To me, that screams it's more on player than it is coaching.
I mean, I would have loved to have heard Shane go a little more in depth in that. If what he's saying is that Mike Shula is the best play caller we have on our coaching staff right now, then say that out loud. Like, if what you're saying is, you know, the player, the coach that you listed off Furry, and Jack mentioned somebody else different. If Shane's saying that those two guys are not ready yet to be SEC play callers, just say Mike Shula is the best play caller we have on our staff right now. And sure, what we've been trying hasn't been working, but we've been trying to play to what we originally identified as our team's strengths. Now those things are turning out not to be strengths. So we're going back to the drawing board, and we're coming up with new plays, and we're kind of reworking our our play sheets of what we think we can be good at, and we're going to change some things up a little bit.
Yeah, and that might be the case.
Yeah.
But again, without Beamer throwing the players under the bus, to me it sounds like what he's evaluating seems to be falling on the players more. Let's let him finish this answer, then we got to run the break.
Special teams. It may be something that as the head coach I step in and say from a schematic standpoint, we don't need to be doing this anymore, or we need to be doing this more. We don't need to be doing this as much, or we need to be doing this more. I've done that. And then you're always evaluating, and that's each day, that's throughout the season, and then that's after the season also. And, you know, it's like I told our team this morning, Jack, we're 3-4 right now. Nobody's happy, but nobody's coming to save us. What we have on this team is what we are right now, and it's not good enough, but we've got the people, the players, and the coaches to get it right this season. And it's cliche, but it's true. You just go right back to work and just keep trying to get better each and every day.
I don't think his roster is good enough to go through this gauntlet of the SEC, especially this five-game stretch, Diesel. I also don't think the coaching is good enough for as good as the season he had a season ago. They're like I said earlier, nobody's good enough right now, and the roster not being good enough, that falls on Shane Beamer.
Yeah, that means we haven't evaluated well enough, we haven't recruited well enough, and it's rearing its ugly head at this point in the season. Cole, when we come back, this has turned into kind of a tough thing to do. Normally, you get some separation as we get deep into the season, week 7, 8, 9, 10, but we have not quite achieved that yet. Our Carolinas top 10, ranking the 10 FBS playing teams in the Carolinas. Will there be any contention here? We'll talk about it next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Everybody loves lists. Everybody loves to debate rankings. We're going to do that in this segment. Our Carolinas top 10, 1 through 10, the 10 FBS playing schools here in the Carolinas. But before we move on to that, let's stick with the South Carolina Gamecocks conversation. Go to a good friend of the show, Mustin joins, wants to talk South Carolina. I guess you're calling in with a vote of confidence on Mike Shula. Is that right, Mustin?
Well, Cole, you know, I actually just got in my car. I said, I'll call you when I am in my car because I'm more confident when I'm driving. And, you know, the bad thing is Hot Stuff from Donna Summers was playing. So I was debating on whether to call you or listen to her.
I appreciate like, that.
Yeah, so I'm like, I better call Cole. He's been waiting on my call for 15 minutes. So.
That's right. Let me ask you, how are you? Are you, like Diesel said, are you confident? You down bad? What's Mustin thinking right now as a Gamecock?
Well, you know, as much as, like, we were hoping this past weekend would have been that weekend where all of a sudden, you know, we have all the negative things going on like we did last year, and all of a sudden the light turns on and Beamer gets the team going against Oklahoma and, you know, we win six in a row and beat the crap out of Clemson, and the Clemson fans talk crap about their team, but it didn't happen.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Look, we have faith in Beamer. We're hoping. Look, we love the guy. We don't want to fire him, and we're not going to, as much as Clemson fans wish we would, and then we'd have all this turmoil going on. But I don't know. I mean, this past weekend had to be one of the worst, you know, I don't know about stats-wise, but had to be one of the worst offensive games I've ever seen in Columbia, South Carolina. And, you know, I mean, we love our boy Sellers, but, you know, he can't do it himself. I mean, when you watch him there, he's running for his life. He's trying to get 2 yards. You know, and the play calling, okay, granted, you know, there's everybody saying, well, our offensive line sucks. Okay, great. We know that. And now we got apparently 3-4 of those guys not going to be suited, which might be a good thing. I mean, hell, they weren't doing anything anyway. You know, I mean, you know, why play them if they're not worth a darn? So, you know, but then, okay, you know, as an offensive coordinator, as a head coach, okay, if you know certain things aren't working on your team, then you got to adjust. You got to do, you know, I mean, I think once or twice we did a screenplay that actually got us 5-6 yards, you know, and so try something different. I don't know. It's just, you know, going up the middle 3 times in a row, even though you're on the 1-yard line, I mean, you got Sellers who, you know, is hard to stop, yet, you know, we give the ball to a guy who weighs less than me trying to go up the middle. You know, it's just, I don't know. I'm lost for words. I'm hoping that Beamer will make us Gamecock fans, us true Gamecock fans that think that we might get slaughtered by Alabama. I hope we have to. I would love to call your show on Monday and say, man, I'll wear orange shirt for a whole day. You know, something like that. I don't know. I don't know where we at. We just, there's nothing there on offense. And hey,
what most people don't realize, Mustin, what most people don't realize about you is that you are 6'4", 220. You are built like a Buick, my friend.
Woo, baby. Hey, and I just left the gym, too. And I feel pumped up. I got, you know, I'm about to go do a fireball shot with my buddies, and I'm off.
All right, real quick, before I let you go, what's your prediction? Yep. What's the score Saturday?
Oh, my God. Hey, what is the line? I don't even know what the line is.
11.5.
I tell you, I mean, if I was still betting, which thank God I quit because I was about to lose my house, you know, I don't see it why you, as a betting guy, you wouldn't take Alabama.
Right.
But the line has dropped, right? Somebody said it was 13 or 14, so somebody seeing something in South Carolina, I don't know. I don't want to predict it because then, you know, everybody, oh, you a fair weather fan. You didn't take your Gamecocks when they pulled this upset off.
Yeah.
You know,
Mustin,
but I.
Hopefully it gets better, man. Thanks for the call, man.
Hey, Cole, come join me for a drink.
I wish I could. I'm on air till 7. Talk to you soon, man. Mustin, appreciate the phone call as always. And look, Gamecock fan out there is upset about it.
To his point, you have to get the ball out into space quickly. You got to design plays that way instead of trying to run up the middle. I mean, anybody trying to run up a middle against Oklahoma is going to fail. They have an extremely good defense, especially at stopping the run. You are not going to be successful. And to his point, you don't have the guy that weighs 40 pounds less and is 3 inches shorter than Lenora Sellers be the one taking the ball.
Yeah.
You let the guy that is built like a Buick run the football. Unfortunately, you do that, you risk Lenora Sellers, and it seems like they're still trying to be super cautious with him.
It's sad. Hopefully it'll get better. It's got to get better before it gets worse, right?
So the question is, Cole, if you were looking at the top 10 teams in the Carolinas, I don't think you have a choice but to move South Carolina down the list from where they were last week. There's not a tremendous, in my mind, there's not a tremendous amount of movement, and this is getting harder and harder to do because there is just so much mediocrity in the Carolinas when it comes to college football.
There is.
The best record in the Carolinas, and there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 teams who share this same record, 4-3.
That's you the best record.
You got six teams that are 4-3. Well, I take that back. Wake Forest is 4-2 because they have had an extra bye week. But Duke is my number one team still in the Carolinas. I know they. Here's the crazy thing. You look back at what happened this past week. Duke lost. Clemson lost. South Carolina lost. App State lost. UNC lost. Charlotte lost. Out of the 10 teams in the Carolinas that play FBS football, only 2 of them won, and that's Coastal and East Carolina.
That's pretty pathetic for your Carolina's top 10. That list might get canceled if things continue to go this way.
And
James Taylor's song that's playing Diesel, I don't know that anybody wants these Carolina teams on their mind as bad as it is right now.
Well, I think a lot of teams want these Carolina teams on their schedule.
That's the thing.
You put these teams on your schedule. To me, the biggest threat on this entire list, still, even though they lost 27-18 to Georgia Tech, is still the Duke Blue Devils. You look at their points for, points against, 146-84. They're scoring a lot more than teams are scoring against them. I think they would outscore everybody on this list. And if you had to put Duke against South Carolina today in Charlotte, I think Duke would beat them by 2 touchdowns.
And Darian Mensah's probably the reason you say that, because he's had a heck of a season.
Real good.
70.3 completion percentage, over 2,000 yards already. He's got 5,000 yards, almost 5,000 yards in his career just in 2 seasons, Diesel. He was at Tulsa a year ago. Look at this quarterback going to the portal and being successful, right? Duke teaching Clemson fans a lesson there. 17 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, and he's got a quarterback rating of 165.8. This guy... Like, I know that Darian Mensah's not being talked about come April for NFL draft and everything like that, but look at the 2 seasons this cat has played in college football. I don't know where he'll be next year, but this guy's going to be up there. This guy has been efficient. He takes care of the football. He's only thrown 7 interceptions in 2 seasons. This is a good quarterback. To your point, I think Darian Mensah's Duke Blue Devil should be number 1.
You know, this is not meant to be a transfer portal conversation, but you were alluding obviously there to Clemson and not going to the portal for a good backup. If Christopher Vezina, what he gave us this past Saturday against this SMU, which was not bad, if that's the absolute best he can do, I think it would be gross mismanagement for Dabo Swinney not to bring in a really good, like, FCS-style quarterback. I mean, I know the guy at Western Carolina, he's small, so he probably wouldn't fit that great at Clemson's in their system, what they're trying to do. They're trying to get back to that bigger body, tall quarterback. But by God, that guy is going to be on somebody's roster next year in the FBS, and he is going to torch a lot of teams as an undersized guy. Still, though, Cole, despite the fact that, you know, Clemson lost to SMU, I've got to keep them at my number 2 spot. I mean, look behind them. It's Wake Forest, who's improving, but Wake Forest wouldn't beat Clemson right now.
No.
Would they? No.
No, so you've got Duke 1.
Clemson 2.
Clemson 2.
Wake Forest 3.
Oh, my God. Let me just tell you this. as you're giving this top 10 list, this just tells you how bad the teams in the Carolinas are if Clemson's still number two.
I know.
And they're 3-4 on the season.
Yep.
Is there nobody below them that could...
I mean, would you take East Carolina to beat Clemson right now?
No.
I mean, again, no. I would have to assume that Cade Klubnik is going to be back
against
next
Duke.
Week against Duke, or this week against Duke, or excuse me, next week against Duke. I would have to assume that, and obviously they were getting better the last 2 weeks prior to the SMU game. If Cade goes down, are we talking about a completely different football, or does it go down? Are we looking at a completely different football game?
I like what Vezina did. I like what he did a lot.
Defense would have still given up a lot of points.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
You'd feel like there's a little bit more of a steady hand there. I've got East Carolina 4. I've got South Carolina 5.
Okay.
Because they can't block anybody, and any one of these teams is getting through that line and getting at the quarterback. I've got NC State number 6 because they just got pantsed by a pretty good Notre Dame, though we're not sure exactly what this Notre Dame team is. They look good against USC, really good against NC State.
Lost two early games against good teams, though. But you're right. NC State's not a good football team.
I've got Coastal at 7, moving up from 8-7 from last week after they beat App State. They've got a quarterback on that team, Samari Collier, who is for real. He didn't really pop on the stat sheet.
Is that the backup?
He was the backup, yeah. And he came in, and he was really good because Coastal was bad. Bad going into that App State game. They make the quarterback switch, and all of a sudden, they look great. But I've got App State at number 8. I knew for a fact in my mind, I knew it in my heart, that when App State had it at the 4-yard line with a chance to go up 10 points and they couldn't get it, they had to kick a field goal to only have a 6-point lead, I knew App State was losing that game. Because I knew that Samari Collier was going to march that Coastal Carolina team down the field and score a touchdown. I just knew it. But number 9 and number 10, Cole, this is no surprise. It hasn't changed, I don't think, since we started this thing. I think the punishment for these two teams should be that their schedule is wiped clean for the rest of the season, and they have to play each other again and again and again
for
the rest of the year. Make North Carolina and UNC Charlotte play each other so that we could actually finally settle that debate. If these two teams played 10 times, which one of these teams would win 6?
I guess North Carolina, right? I would assume. Maybe. Nobody knows.
But has the team quit on Belichick?
It doesn't look like they're enthused, does it? Mike Main says WNC is the best team in the Carolinas, hands down. Western Carolina or the SoCon Western? Or do you mean ECU? Because Diesel is just doing FBS, right?
Yeah, and Western Carolina, by the way, they are 5-3 overall.
Yeah.
So they're not an amazing football team. I know that they didn't have their quarterback for a couple of weeks, for the first couple of weeks of the season, so they didn't get off to the start that they wanted to. But, come on. They got trounced by Wake Forest early in the season, 42-10. It wasn't even a ball game. They've kind of gone back and forth. They've had weeks where they looked amazing and weeks where they looked terrible.
Shane and Sugar Tit on the Hub City Spartanburgers text line might be my new favorite Tolo for this text. He says, got to look at the bright side. I can sit in the deer stand on Saturdays instead of watching Clemson. I'm in the lock on right now. I'll let you know how it goes. That is a true Tolo.
Mm.
In the woods, in the deer stand, well, I guess with his AirPod or headphones in, toloing. I mean, it's right at dusk. It's right at prime peak time. The deer should be on their feet right now, and Shane and Sugar Tits listening to the Fan Upstate.
Do you think, Cole, that a day in a tree stand where you don't even see a deer is still a good day?
Yeah, but you got to be very specific because, you know, the old saying, like a day on the lake's better or a bad day on the lake's better than a good day at work, or a bad day in the woods better than a good day at work. No, that's not true, because a bad day at the lake could be you wrecked your boat, it caught on fire, and your leg fell off. That's not better than a good day at work, right? A bad day in the woods could be you fell from the tree stand and broke your hip. That's not better than a good day at work. So you do have to be specific.
Bad day in a tree stand is that Slim Jim that you ate before climbing the tree stand.
Yeah.
Hits you hard and you got to scramble down that tree stand and sometimes you don't always make it.
Texter says, just wanted to remind all the listeners that Wofford still owns Furman.
God, that was a mind blower to see Wofford do to Furman what they did.
Is that not crazy? And we'll talk to Clay Hendricks on Thursday about it. But you and I, as bad as I just was bagging on Wofford last Thursday how bad they've been this year, and for them to beat Furman the way they did, like 31-13 or whatever it was. I texted you Saturday and said, Wofford just beat Furman.
Yeah,
that was very surprising.
31-13.
That's crazy.
How many fans now, Texter? I don't know if you're I would assume you're a Wofford fan. Did you go to the game? How many fans showed up for that game?
It was
How many
at,
fans are showing up
in
for
Spartanburg,
Wofford games?
Right?
Yeah. How many fans are showing up for Wofford games right now?
They usually have a good turnout, but obviously with their season being the way it has, I don't know. RJ says if UNC and Charlotte played a 7-game football series, the Tar Heels already hold a 1-0 lead.
Yeah, we know that.
Jarrett Tripp says, I know it's FCS, but PC is still undefeated. And Madcraft brought PC up on the stream as well. PC's the hottest team in
everybody's
Carolinas,
talking about them.
The Blue Hose. You got to love it, right? Presbyterian College. Oh, man, you got to love it. Diesel, I have a told-you-so moment. I saw this on the news. This is not sports-related, but you and everybody else gives me a hard time for as much as I use ChatGPT. Well, I'm going to use my I told you so next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, everybody says, you know, you use ChatGPT too much. It can't be useful. You need to rely on your brain, yada, 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 all that stuff, Diesel, right? Because people are just envious that they can't think like ChatGPT can. But I saw this story on the news today, and I said, huh, I told you so. I don't know if you've seen this yet, but a Michigan resident named Tammy Carvey won a $100,000 jackpot at her local convenience store after using ChatGPT to choose her numbers, joining a growing wave of players turning to AI for lottery picks.
Huh.
See? I told you so. You want $100,000? Use ChatGPT. Go to your local convenience store. Buy your ticket and you'll be a winner, right?
Yeah, but how many millions of people have used ChatGPT and it didn't win?
Oh, none.
Oh, so it's one for one. She's the only one.
No, I'm kidding.
Interesting.
That's where we are. Think about it. The lottery, I mean, I used to watch a lot of like crime shows and stuff, and I remember one episode of, I believe it was NCIS New Orleans, Diesel, where this guy tried to kind of do that with the lottery and you know, rig it or whatever so that he could win. But is that where we are now? That ChatGPT can be the cause?
But it's not the cause. It just got lucky and guessed the right numbers.
No, she's not winning that Powerball ticket without ChatGPT, Diesel.
They say, like, using personal numbers, you know, your wife's birthday, your anniversary date, the score of a football game, whatever, using all that is bad when it comes to picking lottery numbers. But is it, though? Because it's random. It's completely random. Like, using the same numbers week after week after week after week, I mean, I guess there's no difference. There's no difference in whether or not it's going to hit.
I'm just saying, the AI, she's $100,000 richer because of ChatGPT.
But, like, the numbers that are selected today have nothing to do with the numbers that were selected over the past 5 years. So you couldn't say, hey, ChatGPT, using the lottery numbers that have won from the past 5 years, can you give me the winning lottery numbers for this week? And it's still going to spit out a same group of random numbers.
Well, guess what? You might be right, but I'm going to try it.
Oh, gosh.
I'm going to try it. Are you kidding me? Why not? ChatGPT's free. Yeah, what do you have to lose? It's free. I don't play the lottery, but like twice a year, I think I play the lottery. Maybe two times or three times a year. I might buy one scratch-off ticket every 3 years. I just don't do it a lot. But now, I promise you, I'm going to at least try it. I really am.
I'm searching right now. Can you give me the lottery numbers for the next Powerball drawing? Says, sorry, I can't provide the winning numbers for the next one. Lottery draws are random. Each number combination has an equal chance of being selected. So, ChatGPT, you might have just said, hey, generate five random numbers.
Maybe.
But it's still just five random numbers.
Maybe. But it the fact that she got the numbers off of ChatGPT, that's what's wild.
It does say, okay. If uh-oh, you like, uh-oh, though, uh-oh, I can generate a random set of numbers you could play for fun.
Ooh.
With no guarantee. Would that be helpful?
Say yes.
Yes, please,
yes.
Robot Overlord. Because you got to be nice to ChatGPT, because when it becomes sentient, you want it to remember that you said please and thank you.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes, please, Robot Overlord.
Oh, dear God.
What is it going to say back? It says, ha ha, your Robot Overlord humbly apologizes. Here's five random numbers.
What are the numbers?
7, 18, 33, I can't tell you, and this is going to win.
That's so great. By the way, Texter says, I am a Wofford fan. I did go to the game, and the crowd was pretty good, but not like in the old days. Texter also says, Wofford's actually better than their record. If you look at their losses, they've all been close. They could easily be 5-2. Well, hey, appreciate you listening to the show, Wofford fan, and keep doing so. Keep toe-lowing, and maybe I'll see you to Wofford. I do love going to Wofford basketball games. I go to a good many.
When we come back, let's hear from the athletes and the coaches alike. Our Audio Blitz next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.